Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind. Graphic Audio LLC presents Living with the Dead, A Zombie Bromance by Mike Richardson. Narrated by Michael John Casey and performed by a full cast. Living with the Dead, A Zombie Bromance. The city still had residents. Despite the death, the hundreds upon thousands of dead. Hordes of dead, or rather, undead. It had been some time, but the zombies had taken over all but tiny pockets of survivors across the city, across the world. Those survivors had to scrounge for food, shelter, weapons, for every bit of sustenance as they held on to their lives, to their humanity. Then, there, among the slow-moving undead, a figure sprints across the street and stops by a car hiding behind it, the bald center of his head giving way to a cascade of gray-white, unkempt hair, matched by the ratty beard that flowed out from his face. The old man darted to the sidewalk and ran past a long-since-abandoned newspaper dispenser, with the last day before the fall still in display with a large headline and big block letters that read, "Virus Dooms Mankind." He took cover again at a bodega entrance next to a rusted car sticking out of the front window of the long-abandoned establishment.
Damn it!
The old man looked about the street, filled with the shuffling undead.
I just gotta reach the other side without being seen.
Slowly, a swamp opens up as two slow-moving groups of undead pass each other, providing a stretch of street with both groups of zombies their backs to the patch of asphalt, dotted by tufts of grass that had long since grown through the cracks in the street. The old man gripped a fork in his right hand to steel his resolve, and then bolted. He scurried across the street like a beleaguered Moses, crossing a zombified Red Sea. The man made it to the other side of the street and quickly huddled in the darkness of an overhang at an open door to a dilapidated old hotel front, and then spun around to see if any of the zombies in the street had taken notice of his flight.
Made it.
The man felt something brush against the back of his left shoulder. Huh? The man turned to see a towering zombie with green, heavily rotting skin on his face. This zombie was missing its right eye, and a cloudy red left eye settled on the old man, its lipless mouth agape with purplish gums and brown teeth bared.
Brains.
The zombie leaned down toward the old man, his maw opening wider. The old man jolted and instinctively brought up the fork and stabbed it into the zombie's forehead. The old man then darted out into the street and stopped. All the zombies he just successfully avoided had now all turned back upon hearing his scream and run into the middle of the street. He was completely surrounded. The zombies, led by the one with the fork in his head, advanced on the old man. There was nowhere to run, and the mass of undead swarmed and overtook the helpless elderly man. They clawed and tore at the old man's threadbare clothes and started ripping him apart, devouring his flesh before the man was even dead.
Meat.
Brains.
Need brains.
As the gang of undead continued to consume the old man, two other zombies walked past with no regard for the feasting taking place. They crossed the street and headed down an alley.
Need flesh!
The two zombies shuffled across to another street and up the stairs of a brownstone with barbed wire and boarded up windows on the first floor. The shorter, with a red face, pulled out a set of keys and unlocked the door of the brownstone as the larger turned his back to face some of the random undead scattered about the street.
Brains!
The shorter spun his head around and looked at the taller one.
Hey!
The shorter reached out and grabbed the right shoulder of the taller one and yanked him inside the building and immediately slammed the door. A smattering of zombies stared at the door for a moment and then shuffled on groaning as if nothing had occurred. Once inside the brownstone building, the shorter of the two raised his arms halfway, his palms out.
What the hell were you doing out there?
He then lifted his mask to reveal a square-jawed, brown-haired man sporting a well-trimmed Van Dyke.
You want to give this place away and get us killed?
He lowered the mask to his side and started unbuttoning his jacket to reveal the pants were attached like a jumpsuit, and beneath it, he wore a completely clean set of untattered clothes, of jeans and a black-ringed, dark-blue short-sleeved t-shirt.
And what was all that more brains stuff about?
The shorter man turned away to put his zombie costume on a hook, next to a series of pegs holding random bats, clubs, and machetes, blood staining them all, and bits of dried gore in a crusted pile on the floor beneath the pegs. The larger figure slumped his shoulders slightly and then lifted his mask to reveal a slightly boyish, befuddled face framed with curly, strawberry blonde hair.
I was working on my method.
The shorter man placed the mask around a hanger and shot an annoyed look at the bigger yet simply boyish figure, who also started to take off his outer shell of zombie clothes, revealing a light blue hoodie and jeans.
I used to study acting, you know.
The brown-haired man hung up his zombie costume on another set of pegs further from the door.
We've got a good thing going. Remember our pledge?
The larger man hung up his zombie cover and turned around with an eager nod.
Yeah. Make lemonade out of a lemon.
Right. And who's the straw that stirs the drink?
You are.
Look, we have a routine that we practiced over and over. One simple slip up and we're zombie meat.
I'm sorry, straw. I just got carried away.
The lumbering bigger man took a few steps away toward a common room off the main floor of the brownstone.
But I had talent. I could have been good.
Straw stepped over to his large companion.
Look, Whip, we just need to be careful. Friends?
Whip turned suddenly, hugging Straw forcefully.
Whoa! Forever!
A red-faced Straw broke the grasp of the larger Whip and gave him a few chest pats.
You and I?
Against the world!
Brothers?
In arms!
Amigos?
Si grande!
Lousy Spanish, but I love you, man.
Aww.
Whip opened his arms and leaned down to Straw for another hug. Straw immediately raised a hand.
That's enough.
Whip lowered his hands and offered a sheepish smile.
Ooh, sorry.
Straw gave his friend a playful slap on his arm.
Hey, you want to put on a concert?
Sure. But I'm playing drums this time.
Straw canted his head down the hall.
To the elevator, then.
When the elevator door opened to a roof, Whip scurried out holding his hand over his face. A laughing Straw strolled out after him.
Oh, let me out of here!
Whip crossed to a pieced-together drum set atop a makeshift wooden stage, sat down behind it, picked up a set of sticks, and tested the bass drum. Straw stepped up on the cobbled-together lumber stage.
Man, that was worse than zombie ass.
Straw crossed to the back edge of the stage and flipped a switch on a console with cables running to an industrial plug on at the base at the elevator housing, which turned on lights, random car head and tail lights, halogens, and one traffic light on its side. All around a cobbled-together wooden banner sign in large, slap-painted letters, the word Bucktooth. Straw then stepped over to and picked up an electric guitar, then crossed to a small assortment of amplifiers, plugged in, knocked a few empty bottles off the speaker set, and turned it on. He strummed a couple of random chords and a few licks, then put his foot up on a monitor speaker and hit a loud, random power chord. Zombies on the street below looked up and about in confusion. Straw crossed to the amps and pulled out a lighter and a cigarette. He lit it and then tossed the lighter onto the speaker. Turned away and then looked back at the speaker knobs. He smiled and turned the first two knobs all the way up and then swiped across, slapping the rest across to the highest setting. Straw then crossed to the center of the stage, took a rock stance on the stage, and gave a hard strum. A flash of fire and several plumes of smoke rose from behind one of the amps as it toppled forward, slamming onto the stage in a mess of feedback and distortion, and toppled in a smoking ruin. Straw, who had stumbled away, looked back at the destroyed sound equipment, a broken cigarette in his mouth.
Ah, damn it. Blew up my amp again.
Straw gave a slight cant of his head to Whip.
It looks like we're going shopping.
Whip stood in his zombie costume by the garage door around the corner from the front of the brownstone. He made a quick scan and then leaned close to the metal door.
Coast is clear. Bring out the caddy.
Whip spun around to see a purplish decaying zombie with yellow-orange pus-filled eyes and no nose.
Oops.
The noseless zombie took another step closer and seemed to be studying Whip.
Brains.
Whip held his ground.
Brains!
The noseless undead zombie took a step back and then shuffled away. Whip turned back over to the garage door and offered a coded knock.
Okay, come on!
The door went up and a red 1964 Cadillac DeVille convertible rolled out and came to a quick stop as Whip reached inside for a baseball bat on a hook just inside the garage and then hit a button that started to bring the door back down.
Hurry it up! Get in!
Whip lumbered up and hopped over the door and settled into the passenger seat. The two friends, dressed as zombies, looked to one another.
Let's rock.
On a deserted highway, save for abandoned cars and a littering of bodies here and there, the caddy drove down a section of highway as Whip bopped his head at no music whatsoever.
Hello! Highway! Looking for invention!
Straw looked over with slight indignation.
That's adventure!
Whip nodded and continued bopping his head.
Adventure for invention!
The caddy jolted as it went over a corpse on the highway. Whip looked off and then canted his head to Straw.
You know, I've been thinking, we need a vacation.
Straw looked over to Whip.
What'd I tell you about thinking?
Hey, I'm not kidding. I need a break from all the stress I'm feeling. You know, the end of the world, the loss of my acting career.
We've been through this before.
The car struck another zombie, and this one pinwheeled up and over the two friends. Only to land on the trunk lid, its skull shattering and the contents spilling off the caddy as the body rolled off like a rag doll.
We can't get caught away from home after dark. If we're gonna travel, we need to set up a series of safe houses.
So?
The caddy veered to an off-ramp and hit two more zombies. And drove directly into a mall off the highway. In the parking lot, Straw hit three more bodies, and then came to a stop atop a fourth.
Hey, why not? We got nothing else to do, and we got all the time in the world to do it. Who stirs the drink?
I know. You do.
Straw killed the engine and the two got out, arms raised out zombie style. They started walking toward the mall.
That's right. Never forget it.
Whip stared ahead at the mall entrance.
Brains.
Straw slightly turned his head to Whip.
What's with this brain stuff all the time?
I saw it in a movie. It's living dead language.
Upon entering the mall, a greenish-gray zombie with no arms below the elbows, a completely exposed ribcage on his right side, and the right top side of his skull missing, took a half step towards Whip and Straw.
Brains!
Brains!
You gotta be kidding me.
What?
Straw shook his head.
I'm an actor. It's my method. I search for common ground. Get inside their heads. Find a common motivation.
That would be...
brains.
I thought so.
About to go into a music store, Straw stopped and eyed a top-line amp in the window.
Oh, now you're talking.
Whip stepped away as the commotion of zombies on a lower level of the mall was growing.
Hey, Straw, come look at this. I wonder what's up.
I don't like it. Let's leave. It's dangerous when they get all riled up.
You're right. Let's get out of here.
Whip turned and headed for the entrance on the side that they had just come through. Straw swung his head back toward the sound of the zombies on the lower level.
Hey, wait a minute.
Straw zombie walked over to the escalators.
Straw, what the hell are you doing?
Straw shuffled down the escalators, but got no better view due to the two support pillars. Once at the next level down, he shuffled over to a fake tree and climbed up to get a good look over the heads of the undead.
I don't believe it.
There at the entrance to Johnson Sporting Goods was...
a girl!
Come and get it!
Straw stared in awe when suddenly someone grabbed his right leg and yanked, forcing him to fall out of the tree and land on the floor behind a long, dried-out planter and out of the sight of the zombie.
What?
Whip now stood over his friend, his arms out in confusion.
What are you doing? Have you gone crazy?
Straw shook off the fall and got back to his feet.
Get back to the caddy. Have it out front and running.
And leave you here? Are you nuts?
Just do it.
Across the mall by the sporting goods store stood the young woman with the raven-haired bob, in tight black capri pants, a leopard print belt, and black combat boots tied half the way up. She also wore a red bustier top with mauve straps over her bare shoulders and a mauve hairband to match. She had large fish tattoos on each arm at her bare shoulders, arms that held a golf driver and swung hard at the head of a zombie coming in close.
Take that, you stinking piece of...
A section of the zombie's head went flying off, but the force of the blow caused the zombie's jaw to also fall off just before his body collapsed to the tiled floor, among other failed attackers.
Okay, who's next?
The young woman suddenly realized that all the other zombies had left her for some reason.
Huh?
Just then, she saw a brown-haired man with what looked like a goatee and mustache in a t-shirt and jeans. Straw was waving his arms and yelling. Gone were his mask and zombie costume.
Here I am! Come and get it! Plenty of brains for all of you!
Straw ran about 15 yards, then jumped up on a wooden bench to be above the heads of the zombies to call to Betty.
No time to explain! Get to the front of the mall! There's a car waiting!
Sir, whatever you say!
Straw jumped down and headed for the escalator.
Here I am!
Straw came around a corner, stopped, and started putting back on his disguise.
Over here!
Straw pulled on his zombie mask.
I'm cutting this way too close.
A group of zombies shuffled around the corner, and one with his neck bent at a severe angle shifted and looked right at Straw. Straw froze, then looked directly at the bent-necked zombie.
Brains?
Brains!
The zombie shuffled past looking for the recent prey as Straw shuffled off toward the front of the mall.
Damn, it works! I'm out of here.
A car waiting, huh?
Suddenly, the caddy sped up to the steps at the front entrance of the mall and screeched to a stop.
Get in!
The confused woman stared for a second, and then, eyeing the caddy, suddenly darted down the steps toward it.
Now they drive cars?
No, wait!
Whip quickly lifted his mask, a look of fear in his eyes.
I'm alive!
As opposed to...
Whip canted his head to the front of the car as a gathering of zombies were now shuffling towards the caddy.
Them!
The woman climbed over the driver's side door and over Whip as he stared at her figure.
Drive!
Not yet. Gotta wait for Straw.
I said go!
Not without Straw!
The zombies of the mall parking lot were getting closer. The young woman raised a club.
I swear I will knock your head clean into next week if you do not get this car moving now!
Go, 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 go!
Both Whip and the young woman turned to see a zombie running towards them, but carrying an amplifier. A gang of zombies were now shuffling behind him as well.
Oh, there he is!
Straw ran down and dove into the caddy with the amp as the woman swung and connected with the head of a zombie reaching for Straw.
Move!
Whip peeled out, sending the woman onto Straw. The caddy then ran over a bevy of zombies as it headed to the parking lot to go out and onto the highway. Whip looked into the rear view and then over his shoulder to see the young woman in Straw's lap, his mask raised up and his hand up to shake from between her legs.
Hi, I'm Straw.
Back at the brownstone, the young woman and Straw were standing and talking, as Whip sat on a slightly ratty love seat, staring at the new addition to their world.
So, I was trying to sneak into the mall and grab some essentials. Girl stuff, you know.
Yeah. So, you're alone?
The young woman turned away and stepped to the couch that was adjacent to the love seat that Whip took up the bulk of, her left hand sliding behind her as she sat.
Yeah, used to be five of us, but they're all gone. Now it's just me.
The woman pulled out a switchblade and clicked it open and stared hard at the standing and now startled Straw.
Why? Don't be getting any ideas.
No. I was just asking, that's all.
The woman then closed up the switchblade one-handed and poised herself on the couch.
Okay then. Girl can't be too careful.
Whip's eyes were locked on the young, beautiful woman who had brandished the switchblade. Her mere presence seemed to add energy and light to the room.
So, you guys have names? My name is Betty. Betty Davis.
Just like the movie star?
Whip popped out of his love fog and looked anew at Betty.
Movie star? Who's Betty Davis?
Straw turned on Whip.
Wait a minute. Mr. Going to Hollywood could have been an actor. You don't know who Betty Davis is?
Whip rose from the love seat with indignation as Betty stepped away and headed unnoticed for the hallway.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying that you want to be an actor, but you never heard of the greatest actress of all time?
Whip took a step towards Straw.
The brewer doesn't have to drink another brewer's beer in order to make his own.
Straw held his ground and closed the distance with Whip.
Yeah, but he has to drink the beer of other brewers if he's gonna know if he's any good.
The two men were face to face, albeit with Straw looking up and Whip looking down.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Suddenly the two friends stopped and looked about the room.
Hey!
Where'd Betty go?
They found Betty as she stared at the numerous assault weapons collected and hung about the walls and on a few tables in the room.
Hey, Betty!
Betty?
Straw stepped into the room with Whip in the doorway.
Betty?
Wow, this is some room you've got here.
Straw looked at the collection of weapons and gave a satisfied nod.
They're for emergencies. We've been building up a selection for several years.
Betty took an assault rifle down and looked down the scope.
That's funny. I don't remember seeing you carrying any of these at the mall.
Well, you see...
Whip doesn't like to be around guns, so we don't really use them.
Betty set down the rifle and picked up a pair of Glocks, and then spun around to Straw.
Hold on. You're surrounded by about a zillion blood-sucking, brain-eating, friggin' walking dead zombies, and you don't like to be around guns?
Straw folded his arms with a smirk.
Not me. Him.
Whip stepped into the room toward Straw.
That's not true.
Straw thumbed a Whip, but kept his focus on Betty.
He's just a bit gun-shy.
I am not gun-shy. Why are you saying that?
Oh, yes you are. You hate guns.
I don't hate guns, and I'm not gun-shy. I'm making a moral statement.
Straw turned and faced Whip.
A moral statement? To who? There's nobody left.
Again, the two men got face to face.
Doesn't matter, I have ethics. It's the principle that counts.
Yeah? And I'm sure that somewhere, some zombie is gonna thank you when he's eating your brains.
And again, the two friends stared at each other blankly.
Where's Betty? It's Betty!
She's in trouble.
Hurry, she needs our help.
The friends ran down the hall and darted out the front door, Straw in the lead and Whip quickly lumbering behind.
Hang on, we're coming!
Straw and Whip cascaded down the brownstone steps and up the block to the left to see Betty unloading a clip into a group of zombies along the alley behind the brownstone and in front of a dumpster.
They're attacking your building!
Actually, they're not attacking. They just get into the garbage. We put it out the back because it keeps them away from the front door.
Doesn't matter. They're great for target practice.
Betty stared down in annoyance and then realization at the Uzi being empty.
Oops! Out of ammo.
Range.
All three turned back to back to see that they had gotten themselves surrounded.
Uh-oh. Range.
Straw reached down at his feet and grabbed a leg bone with a shoe on the end.
Run for the house!
In a blur, Straw swung the leg bone, knocking back the zombie in front of him. He then spun the bone and then stabbed the zombie right in the eye socket with the non-shoe end. Whip grabbed the zombie's arm that was reaching out for him and yanked on it, tearing it free. And then turning the bone around, stabbed it in the open mouth of the zombie in front of him. Betty grabbed the Uzi around the grip of the weapon and swung it like a hatchet at the nearest zombie, knocking off the jaw of one zombie and then crushing the skull of another. The trio waded through zombies in a slow fight back toward the front steps of the brownstone and then up the stairs. Straw went in first and Betty followed as Whip stepped in behind as Straw tried to slam the door. A series of arms stopped the door and grasped around, reaching for them. Straw saw a flash of metal. Two arms and a smattering of zombie fingers fell to the floor. Three more arms fell to the floor, and enough of the zombies backed up a bit that Straw got the door closed and locked. The zombies outside continued banging on the door. A few of the thuds were clearly recent stumps. The two friends, now covered in zombie gore, leaned against the walls and door to try and catch their breath. A furious scowl crawled across Straw's face. He took a step toward Betty, pointing at her.
Don't you ever do that again.
Betty gave a slight eye roll and a half shrug.
Oh, okay. Hey, what's to eat around here?
Betty turned on her heel and walked off as Whip and Straw shared a look of awe and exhaustion. It was just after sunset that night, as Straw and Betty sat at a rectangular table on the roof. A series of random lights were strung over from the stage, and candles adorned the tables set for three.
I'm starving. What's taking so long?
Whip decided to fix something special tonight. In your honor. Sort of. He thinks he's a chef.
Chef? I thought he considered himself an actor.
That too.
Whip emerged from the stairwell out onto the gravel roof and crossed to the table as he carried a dented but ornate-covered tray wearing an apron and a chef's toque.
Dinner is served! A fabulous dish from the well-known cookbook of Chef Bill King.
Whip set the covered platter on the table and grabbed the cover's handle.
Presenting Duck A-Lorange. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy.
That is not a duck. That is a pigeon.
Betty jabbed a fork into a wing and easily pulled the wing and a good amount of breast meat off the bird.
Doesn't matter. A great chef makes do.
Whip lifted his water glass.
Now pour me some wine.
Straw poured his friend a healthy amount of wine as Betty tore into the bird. After digging in some silence, they ate. Betty eyed the two men and gave them an up nod.
So, what's with the Whip and Straw stuff? Those can't be your real names.
Straw looked to Betty and shrugged.
After the world ended, we decided to rename ourselves. Start over.
Yeah, I get it, but Straw and Whip?
Hey, I was a Yankee fan. Reggie Jackson used to say he was the straw that stirred the drink. Whip and I were left with a lemon, so we decided to make lemonade. And in this new world, I'm the straw that stirs the drink.
And Whip?
I wanted to take a stand, just like Muhammad Ali. I needed to shed my slave name and make sure that people understood that I am the master of my own destiny.
Straw topped off Whip's wine glass.
I don't suppose it matters that you weren't ever a slave, and there aren't any people.
But Whip?
A confused pall fell over Whip's face, his eyes drifting.
You know, I forgot.
Whip then settled his gaze upon Straw and Betty.
It doesn't really matter. Somehow, the virus didn't affect us. Natural immunity, something. We met after it happened and realized that as long as we were careful, the whole world was ours for the taking. Didn't take long before we discovered that we could disguise ourselves as zombies and they wouldn't bother us. Now let's hear about you.
Whip guzzled his wine and Straw was quick to refill it.
Not much to tell. I was a college student, fifth year. After the Deddies took over, I went in with some other survivors. The zombies got them one by one. I was in the mall picking up some stuff when you found me. Thought I could sneak by them, but I was wrong. We never thought of disguising ourselves. That was pretty smart of you.
Straw leaned over toward Betty.
Well, that was actually Whip's idea.
Betty and Straw looked down the table to see Whip had passed out and into the remnants of the pigeon l'orange. It was close to mid-morning when Whip woke. still in his chair from dinner the night before, his face down in the plate. Whip stared at the bottle and put his hands to his head.
Oh, my head. Too much wine.
Whip started to rise and used the table to steady himself.
Straw? Betty?
In the living room of the brownstone, Whip discovered the couch cushions flipped over and a few on the floor. He stepped into the room to see wine glasses on their sides on the floor, as well as another empty bottle. He then picked up a woman's leopard print bra.
Hey, straw!
Whip glanced past the bra to a folded note on the coffee table. He picked it up and turned it over to see, Betty and me gone picnicking. See you later, S.
Picnicking? Thinks he can beat my time?
Whip turned and headed for the hallway, and his zombie costume and mask still hanging on the hooks by the front door. After he was dressed and made his way outside, Whip stepped to the garage door and cracked it open.
The caddy! Gone!
Whip then turned to the street and saw the red tracks as well as a path of desiccated limbs and torsos that angled off down the block, all fresh.
Nice of him to leave a trail.
Whip started shuffling off in character. About 2 hours later, Whip neared what had once been a small grocery store, his eyes on the messy trail and still in character.
Brains! Brett to Caddy!
Inside the store, under an open section of the roof, Straw and Betty sat on a blanket with some food and a couple of bottles of wine. Straw's costume and mask set just off to the side.
You know, Betty, I think you need to move into our place right away.
I like that. I sort of like that master bedroom of Whip's. What was that?
Betty jumped to her feet and grabbed the XM240 assault rifle that she had brought from the weapons room back at the brownstone.
Whatever you are, come to Mama!
Regular footfalls, not a zombie shuffle, came closer. Straw scrambled to his feet.
Don't shoot! It's me! Whip!
Whip came around an end cap in the store, lifting back his zombie mask and stepping up to the two picnickers.
Whip! How'd you find us?
You left a trail.
Whip gave his friend an accusatory nod.
So, a picnic, huh? Just you and the girl.
Well, you were sleeping. We didn't want to wake you up. You were so peaceful.
Hey, I don't want to interrupt you guys, but just how did you get in here, Whip? We barricaded the front.
Whip thumbed back the way he'd come.
Don't worry. I climbed up to a high window and broke it out. They won't be following.
Straw stepped up and put his arm around Whip, who responded to the gesture with an annoyed and wary look.
Well, then there's no worry. Come on, Whip, sit down, join us. We're glad you're here.
Yeah, nothing better than a third wheel. So what can I get you? Some peanuts, crackers, wine?
Whip gave a shake of his head.
No wine, thanks. Where's the head? It took me 2 hours to get here, and there wasn't much of a chance for a bathroom break.
Betty and Straw pointed together to the back of the store.
That way.
Whip walked through the dirty, dusty store, headed toward a faded sign for the restroom next to the pharmacy. He then slowed near the end cap of the aisle at the pharmacy and spotted a sales display with rows of bottles and a faded image of a contentedly sleeping man in a bed.
Third wheel? Who does he think he is? Hey, sleeping pills. We'll see who's a third wheel.
Whip returned as Straw and Betty quickly withdrew from each other, Betty lowering her red tank that had been pushed up and was in the process of being pulled up and off. She quickly pulled it back down and spun away from Straw as Straw threw his head to Whip.
That was fast.
I think I will have some of that vino after all.
Whip sat down clumsily between Betty and Straw, bumping Straw back on the blanket. Straw jostled back and then got to his feet.
Hey!
Straw stared down at Whip in frustration.
What do you think you're doing?
Easy, man. Don't get so uptight. We're all friends here. Remember? Us against the world.
Betty poured Whip a glass and topped off Straw's. Whip picked up Straw's glass from the top and opened his palm a bit to drop in a handful of pills and then quickly swirled the glass in his hand as he locked eyes with Straw and kept Straw's attention, but also his hands down. After a beat, Whip offered the glass to Straw.
In fact, I propose a toast. Here's to the three of us.
Right.
Straw lowered the glass and looked into the slightly fizzling contents of the dissolving sleeping pills.
Hey, what's this?
Probably just some sediment from the bottle.
I'm bored now. Can we go?
Straw shifted his weight and took a sidestep to steady himself.
I'm not feeling so.
Straw's eyes curled up as his lids fluttered closed, and he suddenly pitched forward like a tree being felled in the woods and collapsed to the floor.
What's with him?
Whip eyed his own glass and swirled his wine, a slight smile born on his lips.
Tired, I guess.
Straw came to several hours later, just after nightfall. A faint blue light, either from the last glows of twilight or an early risen moon, filled the area under the hole in the roof. Straw stumbled to his feet and realized he was alone in the store.
Whip? Betty? Hey, you guys!
Zombies could be heard banging and pushing against the barricade as Straw stepped to the end of the aisle and spotted a wave of zombies that had come into the store. He looked back, and now to the completely empty picnic area.
My mask! Gone!
Brains!
Okay, Straw. You better stir that drink fast. Improvise.
Zombies could be heard a few aisles over breaking on the barricade. Straw looked over to where the noise had come from when his eye caught a sign illuminated by the half-light still streaming through the roof. The sign listed the items to be found on the next aisle, and the last word caught his attention. Cosmetics.
There you go.